Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word for our consideration today is taken from our Old Testament text of 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. And at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of the Lord had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark was. Then the Lord called Samuel and said to him, "Samuel, here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and he lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel in which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning to the end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offerings forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Christ has given gifts to men. Both our text today, our gospel text and our Old Testament text, really addresses the whole concept of the calling of a servant of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're told in the New Testament that Christ, when he ascended on high after he completed his sacrificial work for the redemption of the world, when he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, others to be pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the church of God, for the work of the ministry. So we hear and see in this example of our Old Testament the wonderful story of the calling of Samuel, the last of the Old Testament judges, to the office, not only because Samuel was of the Levitical tribe, but he was also then called to the prophetic office, not only to serve in the temple, but to be a prophet before the Lord. We understand that there are several things that was common to our text today that we really need to focus in on, because our text begins this morning by saying that when Samuel was a boy, was ministering before the Lord in the presence of Eli, who was the high priest. He wasn't just a Levite serving in as Samuel was, but he was the high priest, son of Aaron. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no frequent vision. Why was the Lord rare? Well, our text reveals the cause that there was no good teaching of the word of God throughout Israel, and there was no supernatural visions. The landscape had gone silent. It's as if God had withdrawn not only from the tabernacle, but from the land of Israel. But our text also is going to tell us not only why that occurred, but also is going to give us the cure. The word, actually, as we're looking here, is a wonderful story of Samuel's life. But that story begins with the people of God being called out of Egypt, out of the Exodus. You know the story well. God called the people out to be his very own treasure. In fact, it is said that they were a kingdom of priests, a nation of priests. And within that nation of priests, there was also a high priesthood and a general Levitical priestly service of the tabernacle of God. That came about as God called the people out. He brought them to Mount Sinai. And there he came down in great splendor and fire and majesty, calling Moses up there and giving him not only the law, but also instruction on how to build the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, in which we see in our text today. But he told Moses to be careful to build it according to everything that you have seen on high. When God came down on that mountain, I believe he brought heaven right with him. Now, how he can do that, that's a supernatural thing. But Moses obviously saw the throne of God and all of these instruments that find themselves in this tabernacle and in the later Temple of Solomon. Because they're really a picture of God's throne in heaven. The tabernacle is made up of two particular places, the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place, and then the Holy of Holies. In the Holy Place is, in fact, the menorah, the candle of light, the altar of incense, the table of showbread. Behind the curtain of the holy place is the Holy of Holies, where is the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat and the cherubim that hover over the mercy seat. It's a complete picture of heaven, God's throne, because where are the cherubim? They're over the throne of God as he rules from heaven, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." What a splendor. Splendid picture it is. And so, in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, you have this seat of and throne of God. But the throne in heaven, because of man's fall, is really a throne of wrath. He's angry against man in his sin and his rebellion against him and his word. And so, of course, we see that in this tabernacle, the Shekinah glory come down and sit as a fire at night, cloud in the day, that pillar of light over that throne of God, the very divine presence of God over that seat. And then, of course, the whole tabernacle, the holy place, was wrapped in skins. It had an outer wall, which was skin. Of course, this whole thing actually is a type of Christ. It's a beautiful type of Christ. Because in there is the table of showbread. He is the bread of life. It's that fragrant incense that is from the sacrifice that is a sweet-smelling fragrance to the Lord because of the perfect sacrifice of his Son. The candelabra, the menorah, was the light of the world, which was lit only at night in the tabernacle. And in the day, the doors would be opened and the candelabra would be put out. That's why it says the lamp of the Lord in our text had not gone out yet. It's setting the stage for what we see here. Then, of course, at this particular time where the tabernacle was, the high priest and the Levitical priest had rooms around. In the original one, they were farther out. But in this day, they were right there, close. Their quarters were close to the Holy of Holies. So in this setting, we have the Holy of Holies, the throne of God, the Shekinah glory, the presence of God separated by the veil where the angels are there representing that this throne is in heaven. Then you're coming into the, and you've got all the other instruments and the holy things of the holy place. So this is the setting, and it's at night. We know the menorah is still burning. And we see in our text that Samuel went out in the morning after the vision and put out the menorah and opened the doors of the holy place. But it was at night, from the Holy of Holies, over the throne, that the voice came to Samuel. Samuel. And of course, that voice would go because of the order of where those rooms were. You had the Holy of Holies, you had the high priest, and then you had the Levites in Samuel's quarters. So when God called from the throne to Samuel, that voice came as if it was coming right through Eli, the high priest, who was a type of Christ. Of course, it was natural that Samuel would rise up and he would go right to Eli. And that's what he did. He did that on three occurrences. And Eli said, I didn't send you. And finally, he got after the third one. Eli finally got it. Oh, it's the Lord calling him. Samuel, go lay down. And if he calls again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Now, an interesting thing about our text reveals that in Samuel's training under Eli, the high priest, he was learning how to do the Levitical functions in the tabernacle. But in his growth yet, our text tells us that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. There was not that personal covenant relationship developed between him and the Lord. The Lord hadn't fully revealed, given birth to his word in the very spirit of Samuel. Samuel did not know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So, an interesting thing, again, in order to understand this setting there in this tabernacle, in the darkness of the night, and all of the holy things going on, that we understand that we're going to see in this picture a theophany. How many of you know what a theophany is? Anybody know what a theophany is? A theophany means, of course, theo, for God, is an appearance of God in fleshly form. It's known as the pre-incarnate Christ, the appearance of the pre-incarnate Christ. It happened several times in the Old Testament. I'll just give you a couple of them you probably know. When Abraham was at Mamre, that the Lord came incarnate form, with a bodily form, with two angels. Those two angels ended up going down because the Lord had come down to check out the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he sent his angels in. That's called a theophany. Abraham butchered a bull and they ate. Another time was when Joshua confronted the Lord after the battle. And Joshua said to him, are you for us or against us? Who are you? And the Lord said, Take off your shoes, for the ground that you're standing on is holy. For I am the Lord of Sabaoth. That was a theophany. So here is another one, because it says that, and the Lord came, this fourth time, the Lord came and stood, calling as other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Here is the direct call of a servant of God in the holy things of God, in the service of God, being immediately called by God. There's two forms of calling. There's the immediate, which God calls. And then in our times, there's the mediated call. God's call is mediated through another person, through the laying on of hands into the public ministry. But here's a direct calling, immediate, into the public ministry of the word. God was beginning to form his prophet. He was raising him up. And so the Lord had his first message that he was to deliver. You know, so often we hear, you know, preachers that in our sermons, we always struggle with this thing, you know. Sometimes we're too nice. Sometimes we're too hard. And people struggle with that. They're too deep. But often if we read the text that we have to deal with every Sunday, God really deals with the law in the firmest of ways. Well, we have one of those messages here this morning. And so I just want you to let you know, don't shoot the messenger. Okay? This is not my word, but I'm going to deliver it to you faithfully. Okay? So, Samuel got the message from the Lord. The Lord said to him, behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. He says, on that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew. For the iniquity that he knew. Because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. As the high priest, or any, as a pastor of a church with anyone, again, God has made us a herald not only of the gospel and the good news, but also to hold the people accountable to God and his word about the sin in their lives. Eli, in particular, had a responsibility that when he saw his sons going wayward, according to the word of God, according to the law of Moses, especially in their holy calling to be a steward over the holy things of God, he did nothing. I don't imagine any of you parents have experienced that struggle with when you see your kids going astray, how hard it is maybe to confront them sometimes, right? Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? So we can sympathize with Eli. But nevertheless, we can't excuse him because the Lord didn't. And he says he's about ready to bring judgment against Eli's house. And there's no sacrifice that's going to take care. It's forever. That is serious. Is that heavy? Yeah, that's really heavy, isn't it? But look at the ramifications. We know from elsewhere in Scripture that Eli's sons absolutely not only blasphemed God, they were complete apostates. It's told there that even when the women would come to the tabernacle, that they would take advantage of them. All kinds of deplorable things. They would extort the people. But you see, the problem is, it didn't stay in this area of the temple. That apostasy, how they taught Israel, the example by which they lived, spread throughout Israel. What was the effect of it? Well, look at our day. We see this sexual scandal that goes on in many of our churches throughout. It makes the people cold. It puts our ministers down. How many people, priests that are absolutely faithful, have been confronted in a restaurant or out in public with absolute hatred because what another bad priest or minister had done to a particular member. No, it reflects on all of us. And when those scandals are going on, it dulls not only the heart of the world, so they don't have a proper witness of the work of God in the world, but it starts to diminish the faith of the people. They start moving away. They're not in the presence. They're not in church. They're not coming to the tabernacle. Their faith begins to wane. So it's a serious thing that when Eli did not punish his children, he did not correct the situation, because it not only affected his household, but affected all of Israel. What a terrible thing. So after this vision, Samuel lay there until morning. I've had some messages like that I had to deliver that I had to think about it for a few days and regret it, and I was going to have to do it. But it says, then he opened the doors of the house of God. So he got up in his regular duty. He went out, he extinguished the menorah, and he opened the doors of the Lord. As Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli, I can't imagine why. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, don't hold back anything. Tell me everything. And Samuel told him, as a faithful minister, everything that the Lord had said to about Eli's house, and he held nothing back. So what was the apostasy? When we began our text, it says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no supernatural visions in Israel. It was because of Eli's house. That was the cause. What was the cure? God raising up Samuel, a faithful prophet, to bring that word back into the land of Israel. As it is in our day, in times of apostasy, in the evil that's going on in our culture and everything else, what's the cure? The faithful preaching and teaching of God's word. There is no other. Our text tells us that Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground, become unfruitful. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So, again, the Ephesian text tells us that when Christ ascended on high, that he gave gifts to men. Men for the ministry of the word and sacrament, some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry. That's what he was doing when he was calling the apostles, when Jesus was calling the apostles directly. And of course, we all got to love Nathanael's response. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That'd be like somebody asking the call committee, where's he coming out of? Out of Chicago. Can anything good come out of Chicago? Doesn't seem these days. It's pretty hard. But we just love the particular part of how that gospel, after Philip addressed it to him, he said, come and see. The Christ is here. And so what is the cure? As it was in the Old Testament, even today, Christ's faithful calling of faithful ministers into the public ministry, that they and you would say to the world and introduce them to the cure for all the darkness that has come and veiled the world. Come and see the light of the world. Amen.